Good morning. This is Choices, and this is Judy Mario. Thank you for listening today as we talk about aspects of personality. We all have so many choices that we can make every day, and today this is about choosing the personality that we have because, well, what is personality anyway? It's very, very difficult to define it. It's your individuality. It's what makes you unique. If you have a pleasant personality, people will be attracted to you. If you have a difficult personality, well, people don't want to hang around with you. So we all have a personality, but how do we spruce it up? How do we sharpen it? How do we make it the kind of personality that people want to be around us? People say, ooh, that's a charismatic person, and I want to hang in there with them. Well, let's talk about that. Your personality has three aspects. It has physical, mental, and spiritual. Each one of these expands with new experiences, new interests, and new contacts. Each of these three aspects will change many, many times in your life. You're not the same person now that you were a few years ago, and you won't remain as you are now. And don't say, people just don't like me and there's nothing I can do about it, or I'm not attractive and that's all there is to it. You are in control of any and all of your behaviors. If people don't like you or don't find you attractive, there's a reason for that. If you're willing to look at whatever that reason is and make some changes, there is something you can do about it. You want the kind of personality that you're just kind of at home wherever you are, that you make people around you feel comfortable. It doesn't matter if those people are rich or they're poor, you just fit in. And that's the kind of personality that will make you successful, that will lead you to be and do and have anything that you want in life. Studies performed by Dr. William Minninger indicate that the majority of people who are fired from their jobs don't lose their jobs because of a lack of technical skills, but rather because of a lack of interpersonal skills. They can't get along with someone that they work with. He states that their inability to get along with others accounts for 60 to 80% of the failure. Only 20 to 40% of people are fired due to incompetence. Isn't that interesting? That most people who are fired from their jobs are fired because of their inability to get along with somebody else. Studies at the Carnegie Institute of Technology conclude that approximately 15% of a person's financial success is due to that person's technical knowledge, and the other 85% is due to their ability to get along well and lead other people. Get along well with other people and lead other people. Both of these studies indicate that if we are to be successful, we need to be likable. Well, how would you describe your personality? Are you warm, responsive, cold, standoffish, edgy, prickly, sarcastic? And how would someone else describe you? Would they describe you the same way that you describe you? Do people have to watch what they say around you? Do you have such a strong opinion that you won't listen or you won't even try and understand the other person's point of view? Do you have a chip on your shoulder? Do you take offense easily? Is it possible that you could be wrong? Be assured, it is not pleasant for others to be around someone who has to be right all the time, nor is it pleasant to people who won't listen to what others have to say. If you want to develop a personality that will be attractive to others and have new acquaintances want to get to know you better, then don't state your opinion as though it was an edict from above. Learn to say to other people things like, you could be right, or I've always looked at it from this position, and then state your side of the discussion. The majority of subjects most people argue about are really trivial matters. Keep in mind, the other person may have some information or may have some knowledge about the matter that you don't have. Yes, that's possible. That other people may have information or knowledge that we don't have. Discuss controversial subjects only when you know the listeners are free of any bias. It is a total waste of your time to try to convince someone with a closed mind that he is wrong, and it often makes an enemy of that person. Don't use yourself as an example of how other people should be. This doesn't mean you shouldn't take credit for things you do well. It means not to lessen the self-esteem of others by pointing out their weaknesses and insecurities, or, and especially or, comparing them to your strengths. Don't express your opinions as opinions. Either convey your opinions as statements or don't say them at all. If you don't have the knowledge that enables you to put forth an informed statement, then you are better off just to keep your mouth shut and your opinions to yourself. Don't flatter or praise people when they don't deserve it. This is known as buttering up. Other people do not like to be buttered up, and they know when you're doing it, and it makes them leery of you. It makes them not trust you. It tears down the trust in the relationship. They begin to suspect that you want something from them. Never say you will or won't do something unless you're definite about whether or not you will do it. When you mean yes or no, don't say maybe or that you will try. And don't express favor of or opposition to anything unless you can say it in a positive manner with sincerity and reason. All of this is talking about showing respect to others. Showing respect. You build your power and your likability factor at the same time when you show respect. Think of the people you enjoy being around. Don't they allow you to be yourself without compromising their individuality? Yes, you see, we want to be around people who are pleasant to be around, and so do they. They want to be around the kind of people that are comfortable to be with, the kind of personality that's not been out of shape. You want to move with ease through society, whether the other people are more intelligent than you, whether they're more educated than you, whether they're richer than you, whether they're not as educated as you, whether they're not as intelligent as you, whether they're not as rich as you. You want to be able to make everyone comfortable. That's the personality that's going to get you ahead. This is Judy Mario, and this is Choices. Today we are talking about aspects of personality and what that can do for you, what that can lead you to in your, for success. And also, I just want you to know that I put out a newsletter, a free newsletter every month, and it's about these things that I discuss here on the radio show. And so if you would like to get that free newsletter, just go to judymario.com. That's J-U-D-I-M-O-R-E-O.com, and sign up, and that newsletter will be sent right out to you every month, and it will help you to stay motivated. It will be that little bit of extra push that you get every month to keep you on top of your game. And today we're talking about your personality and the aspects of your personality. You know, you weren't born with the personality you have today. You developed it. Yes, that's right. You developed it. Some people seem to think theirs is genetic or hereditary. People often say to me, well, you must have a really bad temper because you have red hair. I really think I'm one of the easiest people to be around. And if I did have a bad temper, which I don't, I'm sure it wouldn't be because of the color of my hair. Disposition is a carryover from childhood. Maybe you had a bad childhood. How long are you going to let your past use up today? Going to let it use up the rest of your life? How long are you going to be immature? As a child, you were a victim of what happened to you. If you carry that over into adulthood, and then you become a volunteer victim of your past, well, it's going to ruin your life. You have to take responsibility for you, for your actions, for your behaviors, for your successes, yes, and for your failures. No one else in this world is going to take responsibility for you. They may want to take credit for the good things you do or the things that put you sell, but you are the only one responsible for you, and that includes your personality. Now, you know, personality is not a permanent part of you, like the color of your eyes or the color of your skin. It is something you can develop. You can cultivate it and improve it. It is the way you present yourself to the world. How do you present yourself? Have you thought about that lately? Are you charismatic? What is charisma anyway? What is it? Well, charisma is a touch of humility. Charisma is that mystical aspect that we have. People recognize it. People respond to it. But people, most people, they don't know how to get it. Your charisma develops as you learn to accept people for their abilities, their talents, their skills, their attitudes and opinions, without making judgments about them. If you will consider the other person's feelings and viewpoints, you'll project warmth and understanding. Warmth and understanding is a big part of charisma. Show interest in people. Always remind yourself that they are as proud and ambitious and as sensitive as you are. And think about how would you feel if you were in that place. We never know what others have been through to get where they are today. They are probably doing the best they can. They are probably doing the best they can with what they have and with what they've been through. And because of their nationality, their race, their culture, their religion, their position in the organization, or any number of other factors, they are different than us. Good. Good. How boring would the world be if everyone were just like us? Show an interest in the difference. Find out what that difference is. Make an effort to learn something from every person you meet. Learn something. Every person knows something or has experienced something that we don't know or we haven't experienced. Be aware of what prejudices you have. You know, prejudice is a telltale sign of an ignorant person. So be careful not to voice your prejudices. You don't want people to think you're ignorant. You want people to think you're charismatic. Your prejudice is also kind of a fear of the unknown, that which we don't understand. We either dismiss as unnecessary, or we feel it is threatening to us in some way. So be aware of the prejudices you have and see if you can't get rid of them by reaching out more, by listening to other people more, by finding out more about them. Do you know how you sound? Do you know how you sound to other people? Do you know how you sound when you say the things that you say? And my mother used to say this poem. I think Robert Burns wrote this poem. It's an old poem. And when I was a child, my mother would quote this to me. She would say, "Oh, would some power gift to give us to see ourselves as others see us? It would from many a blunder free us. It would from many a blunder free us." I often thought it might be even more revealing to hear ourselves as others hear us. Most of us own mirrors, and we can look at ourselves now and then, and we can see kind of how other people see us. But this point goes deeper. It means, how did they hear us? And how many of us really know what we look like and sound like? Especially when we're engaged in conversation with other people. When we first attract the attention of other people, well, they subconsciously anticipate what we're going to sound like when we speak. And now I really am talking about sound, the sound that we have when we speak. If the first sound out of our mouth is inferior to what they anticipate, they will assume we will not be what they expected either. If our voice is superior to what they anticipated and to please their ear as well as their heart, they will instantaneously light us and trust us. Isn't that interesting? In the quest for power, the one attribute most often neglected is the voice. A great voice is engaging. Dr. Albert Mehrabian was a professor at UCLA, and he spent more than 20 years researching the communication process, and he tells us that the sound of a person's voice accounts for 38% of one's ability to convey a message when engaged in one-on-one communication. Yet, most people don't do anything to make sure their speaking voice is both pleasant and powerful. If you have a voice that is shrill, sharp, harsh, whiny, too high, too low, or sounds like baby talk, you may be turning people off before they even hear what you have to say. They will discount your information even before taking the time to digest it. A clear, pleasant-sounding voice will entice people to listen to you and respond in a positive manner. When you have a warm, well-modulated voice, you will be perceived for your substance. Your voice plays a significant part in your ability to convince and influence others, and that is a significant part of your personality. I wasn't too long ago, I attended a speaker's meeting, and one of the ladies, when she was asked to introduce herself, she announced that she was a speech coach. And this woman had this high, squeaky, unpleasant little girl voice. Now, not too many people rushed right over and signed up to have her hire them to speak in public. In fact, no one did. Her own voice discounted her credibility. Regardless of the voice you were born with, you can do exercises and modulate your voice so it sounds soft and natural. It's essential to have a pleasant voice, especially in the world of business. You don't want a voice that draws attention to you. You want a voice that people are not consciously aware of, a voice that is inviting, and one that gets people to listen to what you have to say because you have an interest in who you are. Most of us are greatly influenced by sound. That's why most newscasters and radio disc jockeys have such wonderful voices. These voices promote listening, and that's what stations want, more listeners. Most people with great voices were not born with them. They learned and practiced. Well, even Katie Couric trained her voice to be what it is today, and look where it's taken her. Look where it's taken her. She's a superstar. So work on your voice, because you can say just about anything when you say it in a pleasant, warm, charming tone. And your voice represents your personality. It reveals your disposition, your mood, and your feelings. In ancient Greece, actors wore masks that covered a portion of their faces and amplified their voices. The part of the face that was covered, the bridge and sides of the nose, down to and around the lips, became known as our mask. When you project through this mask, it allows your voice to become flexible, warm, and full of expression, giving your voice more range and more power. This is Judy Mario, and this is Choices. We're being brought to you today by Turning Point International in Las Vegas, Nevada. Turning Point International offers self-help products, including books, personal development programs, CDs, and personal coaching in writing and public speaking. Turning Point International carries all of my books. My book, You Are More Than Enough, which is where a lot of the material that I talk about here on the show comes from. And also, they offer some incredible training programs. My program, You Are More Than Enough, is a guide to help you believe in yourself and build your confidence. And along with it, we've created the Achievement Journal, which is a complete personal development course that helps you set and achieve goals in 8 areas of your life. So check us out at judymorio.com, JudyMorio.com. As we continue to talk about personality, let's talk about voice a bit more, because our voice plays such a big part in our personality. And there are several factors to be considered when you are determining your voice quality. There's pitch, tone, volume, rate, control, and vocal variety. You know, most people's voices have 2 pitch levels, a correct or natural pitch level, and the one we normally use, which is known as the habitual pitch level. If these are not the same, then we are misusing our voices. In his book, Change Your Voice, Change Your Life, Martin Cooper suggests we imagine the throat as a megaphone that projects the voice, divided into three areas, the lower, the middle, and the upper throat. The upper throat is the area behind the nose. The middle throat is the area behind the mouth. And the lower throat surrounds the larynx or the voice box. Resonance or tone focus should be produced from all three areas. Too much emphasis on any one area can create a misused voice. All excellent voices are projected from the upper two-thirds of the throat. Be aware of your emotions, because your emotions often sneak into your voice as you talk, and your emotions will tell people how you feel. They'll tell people if you're cranky, if you're tired, if you're bored, if you're hurried. That all shows up in the voice. Impatient, catty, angry, disgusted. Your voice is going to reveal so many things about you that you will wish later you had kept it to yourself. So you want to learn how to express your more attractive moods, your best self, and your kind heart through your voice. Unpleasant expression of feelings, moods, and tempers don't exhibit any kind of control or power, and they have no place in cohesive relationships. They do not help you create a pleasant personality and make for good relationships. Your speaking voice and the persona it expresses by its warmth or coolness will influence how people react to you, and that will help make you either a success or a failure. Now be sure to speak at the appropriate volume, neither too loud nor too soft. You must speak just loud enough to be heard by others without them having to strain to hear you, and yet not so loud that people feel you're being aggressive or pushy. I have a friend who often visits me from another country, and she's absolutely fascinated with Americans and the things we do. During one of our trips, we were on an airplane, and she turned to me and asked, why do Americans tell people their personal business? I mean, tell total strangers their personal business, and talk so loud that people four rows away from them also hear about it. Well, I didn't have an answer for her, but I have noticed it as well. Many of us don't know how to speak at a volume appropriate to the situation, and while some may be hard of hearing, many just don't have consideration for others. I don't know why people feel necessary to talk so loud in an airplane, but a lot of people do. I think they're just not aware of how they sound or how loud they are, and we need to be aware of that. It's part of our personality. It makes people like us or not like us. Sometimes I don't like those people on the airplane, and they're sitting four rows away from me. I haven't even met them, but it's because of what I hear them say. And we want to be aware also of our pacing. As a rule, women have a tendency to speak higher and faster than men. This is one of the reasons that men think women are more emotional than they are. A low-pitched, slower-paced voice will give you more credibility. The rate of speed at which you speak should be a natural conversational pace. Many voice experts agree we should speak at a rate of approximately 126 words per minute. This gives the person who's listening to you time to understand your meaning. If you articulate your words, it will assist in the reduction of speed. Most careless speech is a result of speaking too quickly. I know I do it. When I get excited, I get going fast, and then all of a sudden, my words don't come out exactly right, or I repeat myself, and we need to be aware of that. Also, if you slow up, you will tone down your voice, and that gives you more credibility. Fast talking sometimes gets on people's nerves and irritates them, and because of our current hurry-up-and-get-everything-done urgency addiction, many people talk at a rate of 150 words per minute, some with gust up to 200 words per minute. Speaking too rapidly can make your listener believe you're insecure and afraid they will not listen to everything you have to say, so you talk fast to be sure that you can get everything in before they leave. speaking rapidly, especially if you don't take a breath between sentences or thoughts, this will definitely not make people want to listen to you. But instead, it will make them want to get away from you quickly. On the other hand, when you speak too slowly, you can become very boring and lose your listener. A person can listen at a rate of approximately 800 words per minute. Think about that. 800 words a minute, and you are talking at about 126 words a minute. So what if you were talking at a pace of 60 or 80 words per minute? The listener's mind is definitely going to go somewhere else and have its own conversation. We've all done it. We've been sitting in meetings and boring speakers up there, and we're sitting there and we're looking attentive, but guess what? Our minds are outside or back at the office or doing something else. We're having a conversation in our own head. You know, many people are uncomfortable in positions of responsibility, and when they are, they speak in very tentative tones. Your voice is your instrument to deliver your thoughts, feelings, and your knowledge. It is capable of great variety. So listen to radio personalities speak and note how they change their tone in order to give vocal variety. And that keeps you interested in what they have to say. They don't have theme song voices. They have strong, clear voices. If you feel strongly or are excited about something, you will usually speak with interest, inflection, and excitement in your voice. If you speak with warm inflection at all times, you put yourself across to others as being interesting, fascinating, and definitely out of the ordinary. It takes energy to speak with vitality and emphasis. By cultivating this high energy vitality in your voice, stretching words and syllables that make your meaning clear, you indicate your strength of feeling and the importance of the information you are imparting. When we make a statement with a rising inflection at the end of a sentence, it sounds as though we are asking a question or seeking approval. This could indicate subordination or uncertainty. So be sure to speak statements of fact with a downward inflection toward the end of the sentence. Get yourself a tape recorder and record yourself when you're having normal conversations with others or when you're on the telephone. Play the tape back and listen to your own voice. You will soon discover which areas need work. There's no question about it. What you say and how you say it will reveal who you believe you are. It's imperative for you to keep your emotions under control when you're conversing with other people. Be sure you are showing the emotion you want to show at the time and place you want to show it. Your attitude strongly influences the quality of your voice and your ability to communicate effectively. And make sure your entire demeanor is saying what you mean. You see, power belongs to those who shed their insecurities and react to life in an active and a positive manner. And that's what makes up your personality. Who you are, the way you feel, and the way you project yourself to other people. And remember that someone else's perception of you is their perception of you, and therefore it is their reality. It is their reality. To learn more about me, Judy Mario, please go to www.judymario.com. And you'll find out that we have all kinds of resources for you to make your life even more successful than it already is. Thank you for spending this time with me today. And always know that I believe in you, and I know that you are more than enough to be and do and have anything that you desire.